This is 5 O'Clock Shadow on the Pacifica Radio Network, originating at WBAI. I'm Robert Knight in New York. In today's program, we moderate a New York City mayoral forum on urban green space in the Great Hall of Cooper Union, as introduced by Ray Figueroa, the president of the New York City Community Garden Coalition.
And now, for the business at hand, the reason that has drawn us all together here, let us dive right into the candidates. Okay, and to help us do that, we are really distinguished to have Mr. Robert Knight, an award-winning journalist from WBAI, who's going to be serving as our moderator. And Robert, please make your way to the podium, and it's my distinct pleasure to introduce him to you. He's going to make a few introductory remarks, and then we're going to get on with the candidates.
I want to thank you all for coming out to this warm-up act for the musical legend and environmentalist Pete Seeger. Indeed, my name is Robert Knight. I'm the anchor of Earth Watch and 5 O'Clock Shadow on Pacifica Radio WBAI, which is itself a community garden of the mind, soul, and air of New York City. I welcome you now to this Stand for Your Land mayoral forum and teach-in convened by the New York City Community Gardens Coalition in this great hall of Cooper Union, where on this very stage, Abraham Lincoln once spoke of slavery, freedom, and governance. Today, we have assembled those who would govern New York City as mayor to learn their views and policies regarding community gardens and related issues of spatial democracy. Among them, in alphabetical order, Sal Albanese, Adolfo Carrion, Randy Credico, Tony Gronowich, John Liu, George McDonald, and Christine Quinn, among others. The protocol for today's forum is as follows. Each candidate will have 2 minutes or so for introductory comments with follow-up questions from the moderator, who will be ably assisted on deep policy issues with the expertise of two leading members in the persons of Mara Gittleman and Aziz Dekan. The questions for the candidates were synthesized out of a month-long process of community input from gardeners, partner organizations, and other allies. There will not be an audience Q&A, and we will be posting the written responses of the candidates to these questions on gardens and space in New York City in the next few days on the website, which is nyccgc.org. and probably some multimedia as well. So, without further ado, the first speaker inscribed on our list is Tony Gronowich of the Green Party and also with the Professional Staff Congress at the Borough of Manhattan Community College.
Okay, I'm a native New Yorker, and the city is in crisis. The Fiscal Policy Institute, before Sandy, said that New York ranks 118th. If it was a country, it would rank 118th in terms of income inequality. Back in 78, 9% of the population, 9% of the income was owned by the top 1%. It's now 44% as of 2011, before Sandy. Now, with respect to community gardens, obviously, as a Green, I support the expansion of community gardens and reining in the real estate interest. Every one of the speakers that preceded me said did not use the word real estate. But those are the people behind the destruction of the city, most specifically the infill people who want to destroy the Meltzer projects. Now, to get specific, I work with Occupy Sandy. As faculty advisor to student government, we went out there in December to help the people there, and I will marshal the Occupy movement to come and defend any community garden anywhere in the city. This is going to be ongoing. The situation is getting worse and worse. We're standing here in Cooper Union. Cooper Union, for the first time, is going to charge tuition since 1859. It's going the other way. We need to mobilize the population. We need to get everybody on board. Mass action is necessary. We cannot have what we had with the mayor, whose father was a stick-up man, Giuliani, sticking up the public and destroying community gardens. Okay? This is what we need to do. I'm a longtime Green. I'm not going down without a fight. And I'm going to fight till the end to preserve the interests of the public. To hell with Wall Street and to hell with tourism. We need a city that's for the people of the city before the dollar sunk to the point where we are just serfs to foreign interests and every rich person on the planet wants a second house. This makes New York unique in that every person on the planet who has money wants to have a second apartment in New York City. And that's why the real estate's interests have to be curbed, because they are behind the destruction of the community gardens. And we have the richest mayor in history I call him Marathon Mayor, on my website, votegrinovich.info. So you can see all the stuff that I've been doing on stop and frisk, on going out with Occupy Sandy, on restoring community gardens. We're doing a lot of stuff that has to be done. And as you know from the Occupy movement, which began here, we are in a job crisis, we are in a youth crisis, hospitals are being destroyed by this mayor, like St. Vincent. We need to fight back, and we need to teach people to return to the soil, to return to the earth, worship the earth, as the singers in the beginning, and the music in the beginning was telling us. We have to go back to nature, and we have to teach children respect to nature. That's why greenhouses should be all over the city, and it should involve the public school system as well, which the mayor has destroyed through his charter schools, again helping real estate. I think I've gone on enough, because I got to go teach at 11:30. We had a cancellation of a class because due to a snowstorm, so I have to go to BMCC, but obviously.
We're not done with you yet, sir.
I know that.
We have some questions for you.
I always admired Robert, Amy, and Bernard Wright and BAI. That was the trio, the best trio on morning radio ever in New York City.
Thank you so much. Mr. Gronowitz, do you support the permanent preservation of all the city's community gardens? And if so, how would you do that as mayor? What tools would you use, including, and not limited to, local law, zoning, mapping as parks, partnerships between the city and private organizations, municipal land trust, etc.? What strategies would you use?
Well, I say I would support all of the above, absolutely. But I would definitely give the public a veto over any private interests. I don't believe in these public-private partnerships. I've been listening to the Democrats and Republicans talk about public-private interests. Always when you let the private in, they destroy the public. We're living in a city where this is the case. The two parties engage in all kinds of financial improprieties. They do not serve the interests of the city. Yes, I would support every one of those that you cited.
A number of long-standing community gardens, mostly on HPD land, are being threatened with destruction. Would you protect those gardens by transferring them directly into the city's parks department?
Yes.
As mayor, will you increase funding for the Parks Department, and will municipal funds be used to support the Green Thumb program of the Parks Department, which currently operates on federal community development block grant funding?
Yes, I would. I would just want to add parenthetically that New York City's Central Park just received $100 million from some hedge fund speculator who lives on 86th Street and 5th Avenue. I would deduct the money given by private developers to parks such as Central Park and allocate the money that would have gone to parks elsewhere in the city, such as the Bronx and Queens. It's not fair that Manhattan get all of the money, private or public. So I would definitely look at where the funding is coming from.
During the tenure of your putative predecessor, Mayor Bloomberg, the city has been selling off and is still selling off park land and public spaces to private developers. Among the examples, the Ratner Real Estate Organization, the Yankee Stadium operation, and private restaurants, et cetera, New York University, and so on. What would your policy be towards the selling or the alienating of city-owned land that's currently being used as parks or community gardens or as public open spaces and other such centers?
I would stop it immediately. We take the issue of Yankee Stadium, for instance. A perfectly good stadium was destroyed, essentially to create luxury boxes for very rich people. They destroyed a park, a couple of hundred trees. They promised to create another park. They have yet to do so. And the city gave Yankee Stadium $500 million of our tax money. This criminal kind of exchange has to stop. And if it mass collective action of the Occupy variety is what we need to do.
I have a follow-up question to that. Specifically in the case of the city allowing the New York City Housing Authority, NYCHA, to use some public open space for luxury housing, how do you feel about that? And would you continue in that pattern?
Obviously not.
Great. And our final question for you before you can give closing statements is, what actions would you take to create more community gardens and urban farms in New York City?
Well, obviously tax incentives. I would restore the commuter tax. I would restore the stock transfer tax. There's a lot we can do. The personal income tax can be raised. And we need to expand community gardens. As I said, the greenhouse example that was given earlier is very, very important to teach our children who have lost touch. We're talking about the obesity epidemic. It's because they're eating junk food. You know, our generation didn't eat like that. We weren't obese. But they're out of touch with nature. They're completely out of touch. We have to restore nature within every neighborhood of the city and restore community gardens and have children in the schools tend to growing fruits and vegetables from an early age, because the earliest age is when this imprinting takes place, this lack of respect for nature. And New York is very vulnerable, as we know from Sandy.
Thank you, Tony Brodowicz.
Thank you very much for the honor of being able to be here and to make my case for running for mayor of New York City. Thank you very much.
The next speaker inscribed on our list is well known for his Senate campaign run and for his directorship of the William Moses Kunstler Fund for Racial Justice. We welcome now to the stage Randy Credico.
I got it all around the corner at Astor Haircuts. Thank you very much, and it's a pleasure to be here today. Robert Knight already stole a couple of my garden metaphors. But my name's Randy Credico. I'm a political activist. I ran the Kunstler Fund for Racial Justice for 14 years. I'm a political comedian. You may have seen me on The Tonight Show. There's a lot of stuff out there on me. And some people don't know me right now because I've been excluded from a lot of the so-called debates. And that's why I want to thank New York Community Gardens for allowing all of the candidates here today to speak, because we have been excluded. There has been no debate. And what they have done, they've really adopted the vision and the principles and the credo of Peter Cooper, which is everyone is included. And I thank you for doing that. You're going to hear a lot of rhetoric from other candidates today, the so-called viable candidates, about their commitment to community gardens. They're going to talk like they're Johnny Appleseed or they're Nebuchadnezzar. That's how they're going to talk today. But what you have to do is take a look at their bank accounts, their campaign bank accounts, and see who is giving them the bundled money. That's all of them. Okay? Take a look at who's giving them money, because the people that are giving them money are not interested in community gardens. They're interested in community condos. That's true. The wealthy people right now, as Mr. Granovich pointed out, 1%, 48% of the wealth. Look at these buildings that get no taxes. No taxes on Columbia's buildings that they buy. No taxes over here at NYU, and they keep expanding. I need to be in this debate, folks. I really do, and I need your help to be in this debate, because right now they are controlling it. The media is controlling it. The real estate interests are controlling it. And I got news for you. We have to be together, because this city is not safe. We live in basically a police state. We live in a police state right now. There's a million stops and frisks every year. We have to coalesce our energy against the repression over the past 20 years with Rudy Giuliani and Michael Bloomberg. For 20 years, there's been an onslaught against community gardens by these two. And you need someone that's going to go out there and fight against it. It's not going to be easy. And these Democrats will not stand up against the establishment. This city right now is very unsafe because of the drone strikes destroying gardens on the other side of the world and killing children. How many gardens have been destroyed by drone strikes? I will speak out for you. I will speak out against the NDAA. I will speak out against the Patriot Act. I will speak out against the surge in Afghanistan. I will speak out against the drones. I am a Democrat, but I have to do this when I say I'm a Democrat sometimes. I'm a McGovern Democrat, not an Obama Democrat. That's right. I've been doing this for a long time, folks. I've been involved ever since Richard Nixon began the onslaught on our civil rights back in 1968. I had to get that in, folks. And then, of course, Reagan did the same thing. You may as well be entertained, because the rest of the day you're going to need no dose to get through this program. And those years with Rudy Giuliani, what a terrible time that was. And Michael Bloomberg is not your friend. More condos. Necesitamos más condos para el pueblo. So I've been a gardener all of my life. I started out when I was 16 growing marijuana plants in Southern California. And I urge everyone from community gardens to grow pot as medical marijuana. That will help you. The next candidate is going to say, let's legalize pot. I'd like to legalize it too, but I can't. It's up to the governor. But I'm a part-time pot smoker. And there's nothing wrong with that. It beats booze, all right? So I'm proud to be here. Like I said, right here, we're not just Lincoln. Big Bill Haywood spoke here in 1911. I'm trying to run out the clock so you don't ask me any difficult questions about community gardens.
Mr. Credico, or Mr. Nixon, or Mr. Reagan, or whoever you may be.
Yes. I'll be George Bush. God bless America.
Do actually have questions for you.
Oh, no. And
specifically, do you support the permanent preservation of community gardens? And if elected mayor, what tools would you use? Land trust, private partnership, mapping as parks, or local laws? Just how would you go about preserving them if you would
Everything at my disposal. I would have office that was built around people from New York City Community Gardens at the Parks Department to begin with. They would give me recommendations. I would have a clear view of what's going on with these real estate moguls in the city by creating an office of whistleblowers to find out, and I'd have its headquarters at the Ecuadorian Embassy in London, and it would be run by Julian Assange. That Did I answer your question?
A number of community gardens have been...
I gotta charm this crowd, folks. They don't know who I am.
Uncertainty on HBD land and are being threatened with destruction. Would you transfer those to the protection of the Parks Department?
Yes, but I don't trust the Parks Department in the future when a future mayor, a Rudy Giuliani in the future, will appoint someone like Henry Stern and roll back all of the progress that will be made under my administration.
How would you ensure that community gardeners become the majority of decision makers over community garden policy? And how would you increase the transparency of public participation in community gardens?
I was serious about the Julian Assange thing. That's how I would, something through like a WikiLeaks kind of program to a real sunlight on what goes on with the real estate interests in this city. You'd roll back real estate expansion. You'd roll back 421A that everyone's exploiting, like that 57 West where a guy with a $90 million apartment is paying $2,000 a year in taxes. And so that money would be put into community gardens. It's necessary. Have you been to the Bronx? The asthma rate is higher than any place in the country. And community gardens, we need that everywhere in the city. My friend Elizabeth Ruff, who's out here, you know, has a community garden. I spent many times over there. It's beautiful. Beautiful, and it's necessary. I don't want to see more condos. Let's roll back the condos and increase the community gardens in the city along with good, affordable housing.
Mr. Critico, as mayor, would you increase funding for the Parks Department? Would municipal funds be used to support the garden or the Green Thumb initiatives for
yes.
the Parks Department, which currently is funded by federal community development block grants?
Well, I absolutely. I would raise money from it. I would do this. I would raise on the Wall Street transaction tax. You could raise $30 or $40 billion a year with just five or six cents per transfer. That's it. We could raise so much money. They are not paying taxes over there. We have to pay taxes for our coats. We have to pay taxes for soda. They're not paying taxes on anything at Wall Street. We would impose a huge tax, and a lot of that money would be going into community gardens.
Thank you, Randy Credico.
Thank you very much.
Our next speaker is a veteran of the New York City Council, Sal Albanese.
Good morning, and thank you for having me here this morning. I look forward to a healthy discussion. My name is Sal Albanese, and I'm the only person in this race who's not a career politician, has a record of independence. I'm not accepting money from developers or lobbyists, and I am committed to putting the people in charge of City Hall. Let me tell you a bit about my background. I came here as an immigrant at the age of 8. I grew up in a working-class neighborhood in Brooklyn. My mother raised us on a garment worker's salary. The public schools, the libraries, the sports programs, all services the city offered helped to elevate my family from the working class to the middle class. I'm running for mayor because I want to do the same thing for future generations of New Yorkers, and I believe the political system is letting them slip away. The political class is too reactive, as we saw with Hurricane Sandy, not being prepared. They're not doing enough to address income inequality or create jobs, and they're ignoring the root cause of our failing schools. With your help, I think we can change that. I spent 11 years as a New York City public school teacher, so I understand education from the ground up. We all agree that we need universal pre-K, that we have to stop teaching to the test and stop closing so many of our schools. The difference is I have a plan. When I talk to parents in Bedford-Stuyvesant or Harlem, they know IQ is not the issue. It is poverty. Poverty causes stress. Stress causes developmental problems. And many of our kids enter our schools at 4 or 5 years of age, way behind. Many of them never catch up. They wind up being referred to special education and too often wind up in our criminal justice system. And that's just not right. When I'm mayor, I will create a department for early learning. and establish pediatric wellness centers in low-income communities around the city where parents, doctors, and teachers work together in a multidisciplinary approach. Now that we know that the first 3 years of a child's life are pivotal, it's political malpractice not to address it, not to intervene early on. And we don't only have a education problem, we have a jobs problem. As a city council member, I passed the city's first living wage law, which impacted 70,000 workers and put $3 billion in their pockets. We paid many of those workers $12 an hour. That was in 1996. Here we are in 2013 debating a $9 an hour minimum wage. $9 an hour. That's tragic. New Yorkers deserve better. We have a lot of brain power here. We need to create jobs to pay the bills. We have to help small businesses survive and give them room to grow. And for that, we need a political system that works for its citizens. Right now, we have an out-of-touch political class that spends more time at cocktail parties than they do listening to their constituents. I want to be a different kind of mayor. I want to make decisions on the merits. I want to tell the truth, even when it's politically risky. I want to give regular people a voice in City Hall. And with your help and your votes, we can build a better city. Thank you, and I look forward to your questions.
Mr. Albanese.
Yes.
As a former New York City legislator and potential mayor, what tools, including local laws, designation as parkland, municipal land trusts, or private partnerships, what tools would you use to support the permanent preservation of community gardens throughout this city?
Well, I believe community gardens are tremendous benefits to neighborhoods. They help with a number of things. Cleaner air. We can also, I want to make them part of a direct food pipeline to schools and bodegas and other areas of the city that need food, working with upstate farmers. It will be beneficial to the city. So I'm committed to preserving them. We have a lot of land that the city owns, and we have to stop selling it off to build luxury condos. And one of the reasons why I'm not accepting money from developers is because everywhere I go around the city, there are issues where communities are up in arms over libraries being sold off, hospitals being sold off to build luxury condos. And I want you to know that many of my opponents in this race are loaded down with development money. And I just want to be able to make decisions on the merits. And I will have a task force of a community gardens committee made up of community gardeners and city agency heads or their surrogates to work together to establish rules and making community gardens permanent in a city so that we can build healthier neighborhoods. I grew up in a park. That was my vacation when I was growing up in Brooklyn. We didn't have any money, and Third Street Park was my home. I socialized there. I played a lot of ball there, and we have to do that all over the city. Parkland and community gardens are essential. Healthy neighborhoods are not just about luxury condos. You need decent mass transit. You need good hospitals. You need community gardens as well.
We have 30 seconds left. I want to squeeze one last question in. You mentioned a lot about schools and community gardens, and I was wondering how you might encourage partnerships between schools and community gardens, as well as the establishment of new school gardens for use in public curriculum and in school lunches.
Well, one of the benefits of mayoral control is that of our schools is that you have a tremendous amount of leverage over public education, and certainly my philosophy will be very supportive of community gardens. And I will instruct my chancellor, who, by the way, will be an educator, to make sure that he sets up linkages between the schools and community gardens. Our young people have to learn about the importance of air quality, the importance of healthy food, organic food, and this is a way to do it. It's you know, I have a master's in health from NYU, actually, so I part of what I taught when I was a high school teacher was nutrition, so the importance of good food, balanced diet and also having respect for our land where we can grow that kind of food. So it should be part of an educational program, and those linkages will be something that I commit myself to when I'm mayor.
Mr. Albanese, you have 1 minute for a summary statement in regard to community gardens and public space.
I once again want to thank you for inviting me, and this is an incredibly important forum. And you'll hear a lot of rhetoric from candidates about ideas that are going to be put forth when they become mayor. But what really counts is who's supporting your campaign, who's donating, and all of that is essential, because that will tell you exactly the kind of policies that are going to be followed. Follow the money is really what I'm saying, very simply. And I want to be a mayor that makes decisions on the merits. I want to be a mayor that creates living wage job for New Yorkers. I want to make sure that the city stays safe, our schools stay vibrant, and making sure the community gardens are part of the landscape of the city is essential to building a great city going forward. We want New York City to stay as the premier city. We are the world's greatest city. We want to make it better. And community gardens and parks are part and parcel of that. So you have my commitment that I will follow up and make sure that that happens. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sal Albanese. We now welcome to the podium the former borough president of the Bronx, Adolfo Carrion.
He's got the great voice. Thank you.
I was just here when it
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here, and thank you for the opportunity to talk about such an important matter to our city and our future. Let me just briefly explain the suit I'm wearing today. In fact, Linda and I just biked from the Bronx down here, and I will tell you that the bike lanes that we have installed in the city are good, but not enough, and certainly not as safe as they ought to be. So I think we have to work on that. It's very difficult to articulate or get across from the Bronx over the Third Avenue Bridge onto the bike lanes in Manhattan. Ladies and gentlemen, the globe's population is exceeding 7 billion people. It is the first time in history that the world's population resides largely in cities and metro areas. Our population here in the United States will grow by about 120 million people by the year 2050. Here in New York City, it's estimated that about 1 million people will be added to the population sometime between 2030 and 2035, 2040. We are not good at counting the population, the U.S. population, let alone the American population, population of cities, and we're very, very bad about forecasting the growth of population. So it could be that our growth is in fact larger. It usually is. That 120 million people that's added to the U.S. population by the middle of this century will require us to build about 200 billion square feet of space to accommodate that growth. Let me say that again. About 200 billion square feet of space to accommodate that growth, let alone the commensurate pipes and wires and infrastructure and roads and power. So I want to be mayor of New York City to ensure that this city is the leader in green cities on the globe. We need a smart energy policy that makes sense for our growth so that the quality of our lives and the competitiveness of our economy is sustainable. We need to make sure that we have a smart growth policy that is transit-oriented so that we get people out of their cars and using a smart, energy-efficient mass transit system and living alongside that mass transit system. And we need to begin to move from a carbon economy to a green economy. We have the ability to do that. We have the science to do that. And now we have to have the political will to do that. This is and can be a greater city. It is a great city and it can be a greater city. We need to secure our future by ensuring that we build a green economy. And that means green collar jobs. That means green architects and urban farmers. It means environmental engineers. It means retooling our education system so that our folks are ready to enter this new, highly technological, energy-efficient green economy that we ought to build for the globe. For us to remain the leader of cities around the world and ensure the safety and security of humanity going forward, New York City is in a very special place to lead that charge.
Thank you, Mr. Cardio. We are wondering...
Thank you.
Mix or combination of tools would you use to permanently preserve community gardens, among them municipal land trust, zoning, local law, assignment to the Parks Department, or nonprofit public partnerships?
You know, I think that all those tools are good tools that can be applied, but I think there's something that's much more permanent and stronger. And it is to designate the community gardens as part of our parkland. It is part of our permanent open space, and it ought to be declared that way. We ought to ensure that the community gardens that have been developed in the city, and I know we did a rescue operation when I was in the city council where the community gardens were being threatened and they were going to be torn apart and sold off for development. And I remember that we did a partnership with Bette Midler's group, and we got private money and public money and committed to ensuring the sustainability of those open spaces and those community gardens. So I would use the land use tools, the authority of the mayor vis-a-vis the Parks Department's authority. I would work with the city council on a plan, a citywide plan to designate where those gardens should be permanently assigned to our park inventory.
As mayor, would you concomitantly increase funding for the Parks Department, support the Green Thumb Program within the Parks Department, and have the city represent some of the funding that is coming from the Federal Community Development Block Grant System?
I'll start with the back end, which is the Community Development Block Grant. I'm very familiar with that. You know, I was the regional administrator for HUD here in New York and New Jersey. It is a strong tool. Mayors and municipal executives love the Community Development Block Grants because they have a lot of flexibility in terms of how to use them. I think we need to take a fresh look at how we use our Community Development Block Grants so that we can aim that funding toward creating quality communities and quality neighborhoods. What was the other part of the...
The question, would you increase funding for the Parks Department?
The funding for the program. Parks Department, yeah. We were here just a few days ago with the other mayoral candidates, and this question came up about the open space in New York City and the sort of the classes of parks that we've allowed to develop. First of all, I would make a clear policy, make it very clear from the executives' position of the city of New York from as mayor that there cannot be two classes of parks. We cannot have first-class parks and second-class parks. We cannot have We cannot have Fifth Avenue and Central Park West parks and then have parks, as somebody yelled out over here in the South Bronx, that are unattended and don't have the kinds of supports that they need. So that's sort of goal number one. And then we need to figure out ways to sustain or invest in those parks. And clearly, the funding for the Parks Department is one very big sledgehammer that we can use.
Mr. Carrillo, as the former borough president of the Bronx, you must be familiar with what happened with the transfer of city parkland to the New York Yankees and to other private institutions, particularly during the Bloomberg years of three terms, I think it is now. Mm-hmm. So what would you do to stanch the flow of parkland and community gardens and similar spaces into the realm of privatization?
Well, here's the story with Yankee Stadium and the redevelopment of the Yankee Stadium parkland around Yankee Stadium and the redevelopment of the Yankee Stadium neighborhood. The New York Yankees were and had been for probably 80 some odd years a tenant of the Parks Department and of the City of New York. In order for them to build a new stadium, the way that the transfer of land had to happen was there had to be equal or better parkland created as a result of that development for them to continue to use and be a tenant, use parkland and be a tenant of the City of New York. What we ended up with on the other side of that development is much more usable, larger amounts of parkland. We developed a parkland all the way to the waterfront, much more usable and user-friendly sports fields. Thank you, sir.
Call to order. Call to order.
That's your opinion, sir. So
please allow the candidate to speak.
So, are you done? Are you done, sir? You want to? Are you? Do you want to say it again?
Please. We are asking a bigger question in regard to policy, and Mr. Carrion, you have a minute to Please. You have a minute to conclude, sir.
So thank you, sir. Here's what we have to do, folks. We have to build a more sustainable city going forward. We have to add parkland to the neighborhoods of the city. I do believe that there is...
May we have order in the room? The candidate is concluding his statement. Please have the courtesy to let him finish.
Ladies and gentlemen, we need to ensure that we build a greener city with more parkland for the people and the families that live in the City of New York. We're going to grow our population by at least 1 million people by 2030, 2035. One of the things that I'd like to advance in our city is something called urban vertical farms. We need to grow our food in sustainable ways. We need to grow organic food. We need to grow the food near its destination. And so one of the parts of my environmental and sustainability policy is to have a smart energy system that reduces our energy consumption and makes us more efficient. We need a smart growth policy and orient our growth toward our transit nodes. And we need to build a green collar economy, which includes retooling the school system and building urban vertical farms that make sense for urban living in the modern world. Thank you very much, and thank you very much for your courtesy.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you for joining us today on behalf of the New York City Community Gardens Coalition. This is the teach-in and mayoral forum that will culminate later in the day with the legendary Pete Seeger. And our next speaker is a longtime advocate for the homeless and the head of the Doe Foundation, please welcome George McDonald.
Thank you very much for inviting me. I appreciate it. I remember watching Adam Purple ride through Central Park. And then I remember standing in front of his garden when they tried to tear it down. I remember advocating for squatters on the Lower East Side. And I remember going to Grand Central Terminal for 700 nights in a row, bringing food to the people that live there and in the environs at 10 o'clock at night. And from that time, I've built an organization of the people, by the people, and for the people. The people at Grand Central that I fed every night told me that they appreciated the sandwich, but they were interested in was a room and a job to pay for it. A room and a job to pay for it. Now, you hear a lot of things during this campaign, but you actually don't run into too many people that have for the past 25 years been delivering on the promise that they made to the people to help them in a real, tangible way. And by that I mean, I put together a program where people could actually go to work and climb the economic ladder. Now, I understand there's dissatisfaction with the system that we have, but we are all in this together. And this is the system that we have. And if we don't make it work for us, you know what the consequence of that is. Right now, in our Harlem facility at 155th Street and Frederick Douglass Boulevard, you can go observe the installation of an urban garden, because that's what we do. We listen, we observe, and we act. I was walking down the street some years ago, and I would see these black splotches in front of restaurants, and say, how come the sidewalks are marked up like that? And I came to find out that it was actually grease that they were putting out from frying the vegetable, you know, the vegetable oil for French fries and that kind of frozen fried foods. And they were doing it illegally. They put it out, you know, it would seep into the sewers, clog up the sewers. So I said, why can't we collect this oil and turn it into biodiesel fuel? And we were a pioneer. We started a division called Resource Recovery. And we were a pioneer in the collection of vegetable oil from restaurants, turning it into biodiesel fuel. We've collected millions of gallons of that since then. And that's what I mean by observing. I have a vision for New York City where everybody is employed. Anybody who wants to work has a job. That's my first priority is New York. That's my first priority for New York as mayor. But I also have a vision of every rooftop that the city owns, of every school supplying food for and the children making the food and eating the food in that school. Why can't we use the buying power of the city of New York to buy things that are grown here in our city and make applesauce in the Bronx? Don't make it in some foreign country and then buy it because it's a few cents cheaper and save the carbon footprint. I'm sorry, my time is up. As you can see, I'm just warming up. Yes, sir.
Do you envision that you would be successful in arm-twisting the city council, changing local laws, or would you prefer to rezone community gardens? Would you give them to the Parks Department administration? Would you engage in nonprofit public partnerships or municipal land trusts? What mix of strategies would you use?
I think that you need to use all of them. I think that definitely 0.5% of the city budget is too little for the Parks Department. And I think that urban gardens belong under the tutelage of the Parks Department. But I think that you need a mayor that really does understand the value, and we need a new way of accounting for the benefits of what it is that you all do. I mean, if we look at it in the silos of city government, we'll never get any. we'll never move beyond where we are. If we look at it like we're all in this together and we want to teach our children about organic food and we can grow that food at that school and then they can eat that food. That's what we're doing in our Harlem facility. If you go to doe.org, you'll see pictures of what it is. But I think that, you know, just a continuum of healthy food and education around that healthy food is what any intelligent group of people, and that's what we are, should do.
One of the jeopardies of community gardens is the possibility of many of them on territory administered by the Housing Preservation and Development Department could be destroyed. How would you protect those gardens, and would you en masse transfer them to the Parks Department?
Well, first of all, I think that just like I said before, I kept my promise to the people at Grand Central, which was that if you want to go to work and not do drugs and do the things that we all know that you have to do to be successful, I will make sure that you have an opportunity to do that. I believe in keeping your promises, and in this context for you all, it's agreements, isn't it? So I believe in keeping the community garden agreement to begin with. And then I think that we ought to go forward and look for every way that we can get more land for urban agriculture, urban gardens, and for the air, for our living. Listen, you know, a big part of my program for urban gardens wouldn't be a shovel, be a pickaxe.
Thank you. I have a follow-up question.
You know why? Because that's how we get the macadam up before we put the compost dirt down.
Mr. McDonald, Mara has a question for you.
Just a very brief follow-up question. You mentioned that you agree that the gardens included in the agreement are preserved. I want to follow up and ask specifically about the gardens that were not included in that agreement that are not on Parks Department land. How would you take care of
that? That are not on Parks Department land?
Right.
You mean the Housing Authority land?
And all the other agencies.
Well, I mean, we'd have to look at it. I mean, I'm in favor, obviously, of having as much green space for the uses that we all together want to do. But you'd have to be a little more specific.
Would you increase Parks Department funding if you...
Yes, I said that already. It's at about 0.5% of the budget now, and if you look around the country, you'll see municipalities spending 4% and 5% of their budget. So, you know, that's not an area where I would like New York City to be behind.
Aziz Deka.
How will you increase safety, long-term employment, and maintenance in public parks?
Well, see, there's a favorite subject of mine because, you know, at the Doe Fund, you see the gentlemen and women out in the streets in the blue uniforms with the American flag on their sleeve and ready, willing, and able on their back. And by the way, we have always paid above the minimum wage. It's a training job, and we pay above the minimum wage. And our graduates with 4 or 5 major barriers to employment, one of which is, I'm sorry to say, that they're African-American men. That's a barrier to employment in our society because with the mass incarceration of African-American men, it's very difficult for them to get a job because they have this criminal record. But in spite of that, the wage that we get our graduates is $11 an hour and more. So I believe that the Parks Department, all through the city of New York, can have organizations like ours that are intermediary organizations run by you all that employ people to clean the parks and all of the parks and our waterways. We're doing that right now out in the Rockaways, and we've been doing it since Sandy, cleaning up the parks. You know, the water brought in a lot of other things into public areas. The homeowners haven't...
Mr. McDonald, you have 1 minute for your summary statement.
Well, you know, it's a pleasure to be here. I spent a lot of time on the Lower East Side in the early days of my career. Somebody said, follow the money. You know, I don't have any. So I'm not worried about you following my money. But what I really do need is help getting on the ballot and your vote in the election. I think that my 25-year record speaks for itself. I've actually accomplished something in the public good. I listened when I went to Grand Central, and I heard what they wanted, and I did that, and I'll listen to you as mayor. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. So it's Tate McDonald with the Bill Kent.
This is 5 O'Clock Shadow on the Pacifica Radio Network, originating at WBAI. I'm Robert Knight in New York, and we've been listening to a mayoral forum convened by the New York City Community Gardens Coalition. At this time tomorrow, John Liu, Christine Quinn, and a rare live concert by environmentalist and music legend Pete Seeger. And that concludes today's 5 O'Clock Shadow. The program was engineered by Michael G. Haskins, Reggie Johnson, and Sean Rhodes. We welcome your comments, questions, leaks, and suggestions with an email to theshadow@wbai.org. And for 5 O'Clock Shadow, I'm Robert Knight in New York.